Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week.
Welcome back to Wein Online. This is Josh Haston sitting in for Elliot Jager this week. Rabbi Wein, what parsha are we going to talk about today?
This is the parsha of Toldot, the portion of the Torah that deals with Yaakov and Esav, Jacob and Esau, the portion of the Torah that deals with the split in the family that you have, as often happens, you have two brothers that have the same biological mix, come from the exact same parents, were raised in the same home, probably had the same type of education, and yet they are so different, in the sense of not just personality, but in outlook and Weltanschauung and what they want out of life. Ish Tzayid, Esav is a hunter. Esav is a violent person. Esav is insatiable. He's always looking for things. And Yaakov Ishtom, Yaakov is a simple, not in the terms of simple as naive, but Yaakov is a laid back, calm, Yoshev Oholim, who sits in the tents of study and of Torah and of intellectual accomplishment, and who is willing to live and let live in the world. So you have these two tremendous opposites coming from the same home. I'm always reminded of the comment of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch in his commentary to the Torah. He says that perhaps the problem of why Esav became Esav was simply because the education that he was given didn't fit him. If he and Yaakov were given the same education, one of them is going to fall through the cracks. And the fact that he was given Yaakov's education, so to speak, turned him off, turned him away. He didn't feel any merit or any value in it, and therefore he went to look into the fields. He became a hunter, etc. So maybe if Esav would have been allowed to, you know, to have the yeshiva basketball team or do something like that, maybe Esav would have turned out differently. It's a radical idea that Hirsch says, but I think it's an idea that certainly should be factored into our lives as well. You cannot, there is no Jewish education one size fits all. Every child is individual. Every child has to be seen as an individual. Every child has to be treated as an individual. And since you have schools and a lot of children in the schools and a lot of children in the classroom and the teachers under the gun and the principals under the gun, so it becomes difficult in practice to somehow accomplish this. But that doesn't change the fact that it should be accomplished. Doesn't change the fact that that's how children should be raised. So, I mean, that's conjecture on Rabbi Hirsch's part, because we don't know. Maybe Esav would have turned out to be Esav under any circumstance. But he makes this point, and the point itself is a valid point, that one type of education, one type of treatment for all children, even children in the same family, is wrong. We find this in the Torah. It says when they describe the children of Moshe, so it says, V'shem ha'echod Gershom, the name of one of them was Gershom, v'shemo Echod Eliezer, and the name of one of them was Eliezer. Why didn't the Torah say the name of the other one was Eliezer? But the Torah goes out of its way to say ho Echod, the name of one of them. Everyone is a one. Everyone is an individual. And therefore, there is no other brother. He's one, and somebody else is one also. And how to deal with this, how to create such a system of education. So I think that really it begins in the home. If the parents are able to recognize differences in children and to accept them. I mean, the worst thing, not the worst thing, but a bad thing to tell children is, look how your brother, you know, how come your brother got 100 and you got a 40? Well, that is guaranteed to backfire on you. And a child has to be treated as an individual, and has to have his or her own space and has to be allowed to develop. And that's what King Solomon says in Mishlei, Chanoch lanar al pi darko, educate a child according al pi darko, according to the child's way, not according to your way, and not even according to the way the teachers or the society, but according to his way or her way, what the child needs. Then gam ki yaskin lo yoser mimenu, when the child becomes older, so then he will not forsake the path, because the path fits the child. But if you will inflict upon the child a path that does not in any way fit the child, not emotionally, not doesn't challenge him intellectually, doesn't allow for growth, so then when the child has a chance finally to escape the clutches of the school and the parents and everybody else, then you become Esav, right? Vayihi Esav ish yodei hatzayid, ish sodei, he's out in the fields, now he's doing what he wants to do. So before he had a chance to channel him, to control it, to make it positive, now when he's gone from you, so then you really don't have no influence anymore. Not only no influence, you have a negative influence, because he's always trying to get even with you. And so I think that that's a great lesson. I think Rabbi Hirsch's comment is really something well worth assimilating into our lives, into the way we think about education, the way we think about our children, so that somehow we do not, God forbid, have an Esav grow up in our homes and our schools, but that everyone can achieve the level of our father Yaakov, of being an ish tom, being a person that is whole, a person that is serene, a person that is satisfied with himself, a person who is of benefit to God and to man.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Wein, on Parshat Toldot.
You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.